When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm MacGyver.
Oh, no.
Ish.
Ish.
I'm pretty MacGyver-y.
Ish.
Ish.
I can do it.
Okay. Well, regardless, welcome, y'all. We are post Waverly Hills. We made it out alive.
It was fun.
And unscathed by some of...
Relatively unscathed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, I still have a cough from that night. Still.
Yeah, I've been strangely dragging. Like, today was the worst. Like, getting up, waking up.
Yeah.
Like, moving in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is different? Oh, yeah, I went to the Waverly Hills. That's what's different.
Yeah.
Tuberculosis.
And doing an overnighter and then, you know, driving a long time, it might take a long time to recover. I'm old. So, you know, I may not have the same springiness that I used to, but I've noted that, like, just trying to get out of my house, like, you know, trying to get to meetings and things, I'm like, I'm always running late. I'm like, I'm usually not late.
No.
It's just, like, weird.
Yeah, you were a little late today, but you're never usually late.
Yeah.
Like he's always usually on time.
I do my best
to
be on time or a little early, but So I'm just like, Plus, you know, the puppy is, we put him in, like, puppy daycare. And when we leave and come back, he loses all of his training. And so it takes, like a few days to get him back into, like, do you remember when we told you how to sit? It's like, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah. Pitbull puppies, man. They are just energy. They're just muscles.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Lots of muscle.
Right. Lots of muscle. Yeah, he's big. Yeah. Big now.
Mm-hmm.
When I at Waverly at about 3 a.m., I started having, like, trouble breathing. It was like the Conjuring house, and I just had just, like, this, like, heaviness in my chest. And I've kind of thought, like, maybe it's because I'm exhausted, because y'all don't know like what I do beforehand, but I'm, like, the technical person, so I have to worry and make
we had no clue.
You're kidding.
Yeah. You got to make sure you have all the wires, all of the batteries, everything's charged. You know, batteries lose charge over a couple of days. So you got to recharge everything that you charged a couple of days before. It, you know, HDMI cord, it's just insane. And so I just don't sleep beforehand at all. And because my mind's constantly turning. And so I've thought, like, I did the same thing before Conjuring. I'm like, it has to be that I'm just tired. My body's just like, nah, dog. And but this one actually, it went into a cough. It turned from just heaviness in my chest to an actual cough. And I've had a slight cough. It's just been slight. Since leaving the tuberculosis hospital.
It was also
the number one symptom of tuberculosis.
It was also incredibly dusty.
It was very dusty.
I thought it might
was
be the
very
paint.
Dusty. Yeah. And so while you're watching these videos and you're like, oh, orb.
Yeah.
It's dusty. It's very dusty.
Yeah. It's so true.
It's
because
very
we were like
true.
Seeing, you know, orbs with our eyes. It's like, oh, no, that's just dust.
That's just dust.
Yeah, and we'll progressively get dustier throughout the night. You'll notice on our clothing and stuff.
Yeah, like, we kept sitting down on the ground. So we
was dirty.
We were like Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
Literally.
Little clouds of dust following us everywhere.
Yeah, and after leaving at like 5:30 a.m., We got like the best. What was it, White Castle? Is that what?
Yeah, we did. We went to White Castle.
White Castle is yeah.
Wow.
We went to White Castle and ordered 20 little burgers, yep. And then it was just like Debria, Aaron, yep. JT, and myself sitting at this Airbnb dining table.
Yeah.
Just like in silence, macking down some White Castle. Yes.
Meanwhile, Sushi, Megan, and I were on plank bunks with no mattresses.
Oh my gosh.
No pillows, no bedding whatsoever, in what I can only describe as turn of the century barracks. It was possibly one of the There's least comfortable sleeps of my life.
Oh my
and God. I was in the army and I slept in the Iraqi desert better than I did.
I wish y'all would have
pump house.
I wish y'all would have came. Room. We had so much room in that Airbnb. So
but, it would have been 30 minutes to the Airbnb and 30 minutes back why. To it would have taken an hour out of everything we had to do.
Yeah.
But it was not pleasant.
Goodness gracious. Well, just moving on, Madison, tell them what they've won in a couple of weeks.
So you've won a 70-minute, basically, documentary of
feature-length documentary.
Yep,
nice.
Of our night at Waverly Hills. Debria has been hard at work editing, holy having a crap, great time
y'all.
Doing
I'm
it.
I'm like, sleep, girl. Please sleep. And she's like, it's too good. I have to continue. And I'm like, Debria, please sleep.
She's seriously. Like, I got Red Bulls.
She does. She like gets Red Bulls. I'm like, that's not good for you.
That's not
but,
good for you.
But yeah, she calls me. She calls me the other day. Actually, no, that was yesterday. She calls me yesterday and she's like, JT, I woke up early, like before I had to like leave this morning, just so I could rewatch the beginning because I'm so proud of it. And I was like,
that's
wow.
Awesome.
I'm
yeah.
like, you know, Debria. She's such a reserved person. Y'all know Debria at this point. She's such a reserved person that when she freaks out about something, it's like, that's something. That is something. Mm-hmm. When the editor is lit about the footage, everyone should be lit about the footage. So
absolutely.
I'm stoked. I'm so excited to see what she's going to have something for me to watch next week. Basically a fine cut from what she's told me. And I'm going to... we're just going to kind of go back and forth, get the edits out, and we'll have it ready for y'all. Pair Junkies will get it first. Obviously, they'll get it ad-free. So become a Pair Junkie. But, yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And then JT and Chris have a prize, too. I went to an estate sale last weekend. And, you know, when you go to an estate sale, you don't know anything about the people. So it's really a surprise every time. Well, this estate sale was a elderly German couple, like from Germany.
That's
everything in their house was in German.
Alarms going off right now.
Oh, yep, yes.
I'll tell you right now. Yep.
So I arrived there. Everything's in German. Everything. And basically, I inquired with the people who were doing the estate sale. I was like, so how did they pass? You know, and they're like, we don't have much information. All we know is Bruh. That they both died at the same time. What? What do you
wow.
mean?
Mm-mm.
This elderly Mm-mm. couple died at the same time.
That's unnatural.
Yes.
So aside from that, they had rooms filled with creepy German toys.
Oh, yeah.
And so I picked a few of my favorites.
Naturally.
And here they are. So number one, dead baby.
That is a dead child.
This is just
that is
a
dead
child. This is to prepare people for the tragedy of losing a child.
It's in German,
made
too.
A dead child.
It says somewhere it's from Germany.
Ich bin dead child.
Oh, no, this one's from San Diego. Never mind. They had
lots across the world.
Yeah, never mind. The other one's in German.
So it's so very creepy because it looks like your instinct is to rip the box apart so the child can breathe.
Mm-hmm. Hold it
the
just
hair
hold
is
it
so fine.
Go,
it is creepily.
Why is it like,
unlifelike?
Why is it like jaundiced too?
Well, that's just it. It doesn't look healthy. It does look dead.
It looks dead. Its eyes are closed.
That's why I got it.
This looks like a little baby coffin, right? I do not endorse this doll.
They had about 30 of dolls in these boxes, but this one piqued my interest because it looked dead. So, first off,
naturally,
we have dead baby.
Okay.
Yes. Now we are totally demonetized on everything for this episode. We have dead baby.
Dead baby.
Next, allowed. I present to you her.
Nope.
God, what is she looking at?
What? Why? Yeah, why would you make her slightly askance? What is going on?
She's the one that's in German. Ich bin Ankh.
Ich bin Ankh.
She was $5.
Yeah, no, she is prepared to go out into the woods and meet with the devil.
Aren't her eyes kind of red too?
Her eyes, not only are they red, but like this one is just a little wall-eyed. You know, and her body is weird. She's weighty.
She is.
She's weighty. What is she?
She has this like expression that's it's a little forlorn but it's a little, it's like something could just call her name.
Wait. Anna.
Hmm? Yep, that's it. Right there. It's the moment Satan calls her name.
Yes.
That's
exactly. Well, this is Bijou Brigitte.
Brigitte. Hello, yes. Brigitte.
Bijou, right?
Guten Morgen, Brigitte.
I'm naming her Brigitte.
Brigitte.
This is Brigitte. So there's her.
Yeah, we're probably going to hang these dolls right behind Chris.
That's great. Dangle. Love that.
I hate dolls, by the way, but here we are. You go to an estate sale with that type of
story,
you
gotta get the goods.
And there are millions of creepy dolls, so you buy the creepy dolls.
I went to an estate sale in Savannah not too long ago where the owner of the home was a doll maker.
Oh.
So her work shed was full of partially finished dolls. All of these heads, and she had like a mold to make the doll heads and everything. Wow. Yes.
And then this one was hidden on a shelf in the garage.
Was it calling to you?
Yes, actually. Here she is.
So, oddly enough, I've seen this doll before. I mean,
in your dreams, in your nightmares?
Yeah. No, in Germany.
Oh, in Germany.
Oh. Yeah. This could be Jingle's wife, actually.
Aww. Jingles, you got your wife.
Jingles is like, I'll kill her.
Literally, he's like, I have so many swords. Will she hold a sword?
Will she hold a sword?
Yeah, no. It's, she's also...
You know, describe for the people listening.
So if you're listening, it is a woman doll in a polka dot dress with an apron. I believe her face and hands are porcelain, or her face is definitely porcelain. She also, her eyes are not quite looking forward. They're just a little off forward. So if you're looking right at her, it looks like she's trying to avoid eye contact.
Yep. Oh,
yeah. Her head and shoulders are one piece stuffed into this dress, which is not closed anymore.
Yeah.
And all in all, she's...
just another brick in the wall.
She's an eerie piece. There's something very isolating about her. She feels
It's like that. It's like that. That Coma White. You know.
Yeah.
She gave me a headache the first time I saw her.
I could see that.
I was like, "You're coming home with me.
Gotta have that.
I'm gonna give.
Wouldn't want something that makes you feel good. That would be weird. Buy something that makes you feel
gotta
good.
Have that.
Yeah,
get some gummy bears.
Right, I'm going to give Jingles his wife.
So here's the thing. Chris, of course, with Madison, there's always a grand finale.
This is
the grand finale.
There's more.
There's one more.
There's one
this
more.
This one's the grand finale.
And it's truly the grand finale.
So I walked into the theater with my bag of goods, and this is the one I held out for JT because I knew this would be the...
The parajunkies hate this one.
Yep. Oh, I've seen this one, the picture. Of. Yeah, no.
Why?
No.
Why?
No. This is pure evil. This is something that like people immediately say burn.
Yeah.
They look at it and they're like, "Oh, burn that. You know, set it on fire."
We'll post the photos on Patreon, but go ahead and
Yeah, no.
Go ahead and describe for people listening.
If I had to describe it, I would say child's nightmare of a panda.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Coming to eat their soul.
Yes.
It is a definitely an antique.
It's so pretty.
It's very old.
That's a choice of words.
It's gorgeous.
I love it.
It is clearly handmade.
Yeah.
It's utilizing a kit that had a kind of a plastic snout for a bear. The classic teddy bear. Oh, gosh. The teddy bear eyes.
Mm.
Which I'm polishing right now.
With your finger?
Yeah.
It was dusty.
Very dusted over, so now it's very shiny.
Yeah, there's like a dirt mark in this bag from this bear.
Missing an eye, which puts it right in the category of...
Yeah,
right in that category of... horror movie tropes, the teddy bear. And if I'm not mistaken, it would be like this against the wall.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. What I'm doing is I'm holding it down and giving it kind of an unnatural cant to the neck. And so you'd walk into the room and the violin would start playing. And you'd be like, something's here. And then you turn and you see it in the corner and you'd be like, nope.
Yeah.
This is a nope bear.
It's a nope bear. Mr. Nope.
Yes, when you, Mr. Nope. Yeah,
it's a good name for him.
It's like the opposite of a Care Bear.
And I love that one ear's up.
Oh,
and
he's got a tail,
like
too.
He does.
Let me see his tail. I didn't see his tail.
He's got a little tail.
Oh, Mr. Nope has a tail.
There was,
he's disturbingly worn. Like, yeah, he obviously had fur all over.
I was going to mention he...
And it's down to the fabric.
What's the thing that dogs have again?
Mange.
Mange. He looks like he has mange.
Well, yeah, he's totally... his fur has completely, especially the lighter fur, all gone.
Chris, write a movie. We need to write a movie. We'll make it. Let's do it. Mr. No. Oh, yeah. He's coming right at you at night. Let's get into some ghost mail.
I do want to finish with this.
Okay.
That there was a man who was working this estate sale, very nice southern man, who was like, so what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, well, I have a ghost podcast. We, you know, collect creepy things and use it in our set. And he goes, well, you know them Germans, they... You know, they just really, it must just be something, a part of their culture, you know, like the Grimm's brothers. That's why that bear looks like that. And I'm like, you say whatever makes you feel better. I think he was just happy that it was gone. Yeah, it was gone. And then he tried to pawn off Curious George on me. And
that's a little too normal, I'm afraid.
He was like, don't you want George here? And I'm like, no, I don't.
After looking at the bear, I have strong suspicions as to what killed the older couple. It's the bear.
Yeah.
That bear is responsible for some dark deeds.
They died together.
Yeah, that's eerie.
Hella
that's
creepy.
An eerie thing even like you show up at an estate sale and they're like, the elderly couple died together. And you're like,
why?
Probably not.
No. Do I want to own anything that was in the house that killed the couple?
Yes.
Obviously, if you're Madison, the answer is yes.
They said everything was 50% off. They
So cursed item sale.
Cursed item sale, yay.
Yeah, I got all of that for $25.
That's not bad to pay for a terminal damnation. Let me tell you something.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wee. All right, so we have room for two more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into this ghost mail, y'all.
Ghost mail?
I hope you enjoyed our haunted show and tell.
I loved it.
Always fun.
Yeah. Yes.
You've got ghost mail.
You've got ghost mail. All right, so we're going to start with Corrine's story.
Oh, Corrine.
Yeah.
Cool. One of the original pair of junkies. What's up, Kareem?
Yes. So, hey, y'all, it's been a while and so much has changed. I moved back to Utah back in December.
Oh, from Texas.
Yep, okay. Because Texas was not kind to me and just didn't want to work out in every way possible. I'm back at my old job at a potentially haunted Forbes five-star ski resort.
Wow.
I need to dig into this and have some more experiences, but haven't had anything good enough for a ghost mail yet. But I'm seeing those black shadows out of the corners of my eyes again, so I have a feeling I'll be writing in again soon.
Nice.
Anyway, I have a coworker that is a seasonal employee working and training under me right now, and he told me something fascinating that I wanted to know if any of y'all had heard of before. We are on the topic of ghosts. I've had a few little things happen here and there, and an extern come downstairs from doing dinner service loudly proclaimed to me that she sees lots of shadow people in the hallway, but again, stories for a later time when I actually have something to tell. And was telling my other coworkers about all of it when my seasonal employee, Greco, piped in with a few stories of his own. He's a native Mexican working here in the States for a year, and he told a few ghost stories before delving into a fascinating theory about how to open portals according to Mexican lore. He says on a night with a full moon past midnight, if you go outside of any kind of abandoned building or house or establishment with a mirror and place it so that the mirror is facing the front of the abandoned building, then you can then open a portal and cause the building to be haunted.
Okay.
Greco, have you been doing this to all the places in Mexico?
Yeah.
Has he just been going around haunting places?
Yeah.
I want to know.
That. That's interesting.
Greco, okay. Right in.
So it's funny because I've heard that that is a way to sometimes get rid of a ghost in your own home.
Ooh, interesting.
Just to take a mirror from your home if it's haunted. If your house is haunted, take a mirror from your home and find an abandoned house and point it at the front door of that house, and the ghost from your house will leave the mirror and go into the abandoned house. Oh, I've heard that.
Huh.
Something similar to that.
It's like trapping a raccoon and then
releasing it in the wild. Basically.
Got it.
Giving it a new home.
Got it.
Except you don't trap it with marshmallows.
Yes.
If you didn't know, that's
how you...
We
don't know what's on the other side of a mirror.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's why all the ghosts go in there.
Yeah.
Marshmallows.
That's how you trap a raccoon, by the way, if you wanted to know. Marshmallows. Which is so
silly.
It's
also how you trap me.
Yeah.
That's how you trap Chris.
Put a stack of marshmallows somewhere. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
me and the raccoon. Just eyeing each other in the back of a truck as they're taking us to the wild.
Exactly. He also mentioned that he didn't know of any way to close the portal. So there you go, Greco. But that's what he knows about creating portals. Have y'all heard of anything like that? What are your thoughts?
Chris.
So there you go.
Yeah, mirrors are classic portal creators. Many people believe that just putting two mirrors facing each other creates a portal.
Yeah, like Shrek, Shrek, the mirror in Shrek.
That's the magic mirror that shows you things.
Isn't that the? But I thought that is that not a representation of a portal? I don't know what I'm talking about.
No. It's like mirror on the wall, or magic mirror on the wall,
technically,
depending on what you believe.
He is touching upon something interesting, which is spirits trapped in mirrors.
Yeah.
That is a pretty classic belief that, you know, that the original oracle of fame was, in fact, a looking glass, a mirror.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a glass. It was they had a bowl that was very shiny, and then they poured water into it, and it created a looking surface. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you use to see the future.
Mm. And doppelgangers live in mirrors.
And doppelgangers live in mirrors. Those
doppelganger.
Spirits. Doppelganger.
We have to say it. So this
it's our SEO word. Yeah. Doppelganger.
Yes.
Driving traffic to our product.
Right.
Hatman. Doppelganger.
Doppelganger.
Demon.
Doppelganger demon.
Demon surprisingly actually, like, whenever I put demon in, it doesn't do much.
It does on TikTok.
Doppelganger demon.
Oh, wait. Smurf.
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 Cursed Lilo and Stitch. Y'all are too desensitized, by the way, TikTok.
Anyway, I'm sorry. We've interrupted this letter.
That's okay. Anywho. We had to get those keywords in there. And he's got a local story from Querétaro, Mexico. He's got a local La Llorona story, ooh, but he claims it's a real version about a mother who murdered her two daughters in age 11 and 9 and her son, who was 6, and her husband. Ooh. She was a teacher at his primary school, and her name is Claudia Mijangos. This story is half... from his lips, half from a Wikipedia page, and another online newspaper source. It was in Spanish, so I couldn't read it. If you want to read more about it. According to the page, and what was talked about in the papers and word of mouth before the murders, she had an affair with a priest of the school she was working at, and her husband found out and confronted her, and it obviously didn't go well.
And her response was murder?
Yeah, everybody.
Wide-scale murder?
Yes. Because she went to go and check. There we go. Days before the murder, she claimed she was seeing angels and demons and told a friend. That friend was the one who called the police the night of the murders because she went to go and check on Claudia because she was worried about her and arrived to the very grisly and bloody scene of the murders. Claudia went to jail and was diagnosed with schizophrenic disorder and temporal lobe epilepsy.
Oh, interesting.
And in 2019, she was released. Per gossip and growing up in the same town and whatnot, Greco claims the house is very haunted for obvious reasons, but also because people have gone in and drawn multiple pentagrams and used the space for darker purposes.
Yeah.
Well, wherever there's
great story.
A tragic event like that, there are people who will seek out the trauma energy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And try to use it because it's very potent. What I find interesting is the notion that that a recognizable spirit, La Llorona, can manifest whenever there's a filicide, whenever there's a mother that kills their children. You immediately like, oh, you know, that's a La Llorona story, which kind of makes you think about like the history, because that concept of postpartum depression is relatively new. But the concept of mothers killing their children and being demonstrably evil because of it, like Medea.
That's what I was thinking.
You can go back and root that where the concept of a mother killing a child is the epitome of evil in people's minds. Yeah. And it's like, yet it must have some natural recurrence and occurrence for us to recognize and be in that frame of work. Yeah, it's kind of fascinating to think about the weird properties of any parent killing their child.
Yeah.
It's just like a defiance of nature.
It's completely against nature.
Suggests that the point of being a parent is to raise and care for the child. And when you kill it, it's like, are you breaking a contract with nature? Are you becoming supernatural? Are you becoming paranormal because you're not doing the normal thing? Is that act in itself a ritual that does not require belief or anything else? It just requires the act that goes against nature so much. Because ideally, murder goes against nature.
Yeah.
You know, we should think that. But when we kind of look at the animal kingdom, it's like, no, animals kill each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's not unnatural that animals kill. But the motives that humans often have seem grossly unnatural. Although I guess in nature, you know, there are all kinds of animals that eat their babies and you know, abandon their children to the rigors of the
it's morals. Morality thing. I think it goes against morality. Mm-hmm. I think that it's maybe instead of nature, it's our morals and what we create for ourselves.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the definition of evil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when it comes down to it.
When you have no morals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or you act against those morals because you may have a very different set of morals.
Yeah,
you
know,
if you can justify these things, because conceptually, if you can carry out a deed, you are justifying it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, something is allowing you to, nothing's stopping you, so you must have some reasoning. Even if it's madness.
Most of the time it's narcissism. For like freakos.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of a classic notion that thinking of oneself primarily negates others, and then the others become expendable or pointless or there's no harm in removing them.
We'll be talking more about that though in the next episode.
That's right.
Stay tuned. Special guest.
We do. But yeah, so Kareen ended that with, anyway, that's all I've got for now. I hope y'all enjoyed all the love and oogity boogities.
Nice.
Oogity boogity.
Just like your shirt.
On my shirt. So oogity boogity.
Perfect day for it.
Oogity boogity.
So thank you, Kareen, for writing in and being a para junkie. And give our email to Greco and tell him to write in.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to hear. And that's another thing. We'd love to hear more ghost stories from other countries, from other cultures. Especially those really personal and private ones where it's like, this is what I heard when I was a kid. Because a lot of those things are not searchable. You're not going to find them in a database somewhere because a lot of local legends are purely word of mouth.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe through diligent internet work you can find them, but it would be so much better to hear it straight from people who experienced, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've been looking for the Native American person to talk about Wendigos, I Google stuff all of them. If I do find somebody, just off topic, we're talking about the next place we're going to go for our next big investigation and haunt and all of that, like our Waverly and our Conjuring, and I think actually I just got an idea, like wouldn't it be kind of dope to. If I could find a Native American like expert who would, or a Wendigo expert, I mean, who could talk to us about that, that'd be like a really cool adventure to go talk with them.
For an investigation, though, that's not necessarily plausible because Wendigos are very like.
Yeah, it'd be less of an investigation, more of like a deep dive.
Just sit down and talk. Yeah. Absolutely. And
cool. We need that.
I think one of the main issues is placement.
Yeah.
We are not in Wendigo territory.
No.
But we
That's what I'm saying is, the construct and concept of Wendigo is very north, and more into the wintry areas. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think because I think there is a Native American group here. Anyway, that's
I know. I'm going on.
That's off camera talk.
Nonetheless, I do have an idea where we should go, and we'll talk about that in the next episode.
I have several ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I just had a friend who did an investigation of the USS Yorktown, which is in Charleston.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Old aircraft carrier, 141 deaths aboard.
Ooh.
There you go.
Okay.
So. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Kareen.
Thank you, Kareen.
And then our next one is Liana. So, hi. I've been listening for a while, quite a while now, and love your view on things. I have always had a sense for spiritual things, but try to not pay in any attention. In my mind, if I pay attention, it has some power. But I have some stories that I would like to share and get your opinion on. So first off, 2018 was a significant year for me and when things started going south. I had a miscarriage and my grandmother was on hospice, so I was already stressed. Oof. To top it off, my father-in-law went cray-cray about where he fell on the Christmas schedule. Keep in mind, I wanted to spend time at my grandma's bedside. So he blamed me, showed up with an exorcist to my house, and claimed I was a curse. And if
what? This went south so fast.
What?
Just like.
She said he went cray cray.
Yeah, well, fair.
So, fair.
Because they didn't have Christmas at his house? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Because she wanted to spend time at her dying grandmother's bedside.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So he showed up at my house and claimed I was a curse. And if I wasn't now, he was claiming I was. AKA he was cursing me. I didn't confront the exorcist or talk to anyone directly because I didn't want to poke the bear.
Sure.
thought that was...
Hold on. What exorcist could this dude have gotten where the Catholic Church, like, over here, like, yeah, go ahead and take him over
there? The Catholic Church isn't the only exorcist.
No, this is probably somebody who is like, I have an online degree in exorcism.
Or in many cases, you have investigatory things, but the Episcopalians have like exorcists.
Yeah.
And, you can get an exorcist. And you can get an exorcist to show up not as a... I'm here to perform an exorcism, but as a matter of concern. If you convince a person that there's some trouble and that it needs to be evaluated, I could see, depending on how sensical, you know, the accuser is. But, you know, especially if he's like a particularly devout person, then who's going to question the particularly devout person? Yeah, like, I think there's a demon in my family. Yeah, I need your help.
Yeah.
You know, so there is it's an extreme reaction.
It is
the most extreme.
But
the most extreme.
I think the woman with her family in Mexico might have been a little more extreme.
Yeah. Wow. So thought that was insane. And it was an insane thing to claim over not being at their house 6 a.m. Christmas morning. But whatever, to each their own.
You are very forgiving.
Yeah. My husband dealt with it while I was elsewhere. Anywho, my grandmother passed away shortly after, and I received all of her furniture. Some pieces brought over from Holland, but very old 40s to 60s looking things. Once all of the pieces were in my home, random pillows would be in different spots on cushions, or cushions would be flipped around, but I just thought it was the cats. That's fair.
That is fair.
Fast forward to having kids, and all of a sudden, both my kids and my nieces are waving into empty rooms, laughing when they are alone, or just talking with someone as if they were having a conversation, but walk into the room and they are alone. I've always believed in a veil kids have that disappears after a certain age, but I don't know. Thoughts? Also, after the curse statement, I have been let go from jobs for ridiculous / traumatic reasons and have had bosses contact me later apologizing but said they felt their lives were threatened and were so fearful that they had to find a reason to get rid of me. But after they did, there was tremendous guilt and couldn't sleep until they talked to me. When I would ask how or who threatened them, they said no one, just dreams. Mm. Each situation was dramatic, made up, grounds to sue, and emotionally draining on me, all because they needed to get rid of me and knew I was quiet and wouldn't fight back. Mm. I've had to go to counseling / therapy to be able to sleep. One situation was while I was pregnant and even resulted in complications because of stress, but that's a story for another day. All right, heading towards home base here, haha. But lately my kids' toys have been turning on, and when I look at them, it's in the off switch. Also, my cats are indoor-outdoor cats. They don't necessarily snuggle unless it's raining or an earthquake is coming. We're in California. But lately, one of my cats hasn't been leaving my side and randomly hissing at empty rooms and kind of protecting my kids. Mm. I don't know if it senses something or what. Mm. We prayed over the house, and I'm a Christian, so I've read verses and played worship music, but I don't know. Totally believe things brought into the home could have attachments. I worry that my in-laws bring things over or say something when they are here. Part of me hopes it's my grandma, but as of late, it feels more ominous, so I don't know that part. Could be my house, too. Hunters / dooms day preppers lived here before.
Goodness gracious.
I don't know. Could it be a curse? Can my kids see it? Do the cats sense it? So weird. Thanks for reading my novel, LOL.
Okay, so, I mean, it does sound like a curse.
Sounds like a curse.
What a roller coaster. That's
intense. That's very intense. And it sounds like several things are happening, not just a singular thing. Yeah. The fact that multiple people have felt threatened by your presence and that threat is communicated in dreams.
Yeah.
Definitely does sound like there's something negative attached to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that negative attachment is powerful enough for them to register it without knowing any other way of phrasing it. you know, because they're not necessarily calling you out for being disruptive or violent or scary or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They are suggesting that there is a force making them want distance from you. Your children seeing spirits, that's a very common occurrence.
Yeah.
In young children. And it doesn't sound like your children are in any particular danger in the sense of how they're interacting. I dare say that could be your mother, your grandmother. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if she is cursed, what are her options here?
Because of the variety of curses right. that could be compelling, it really roots down to figuring out where the curse originated. Because there is a suggestion that it is your in-law who came over with an exorcist. However, what's interesting is that was a solution he came up with, suggesting that he may too have had dreams mm-hmm. of there being something attached to you yeah. or something going on.
Yep.
So the question is, can you remember a time when these kinds of things first happened? Was it post being cursed or having that interaction? Or can you imagine a time before that when things started going, you know, because... And not to be insensitive, you did mention a miscarriage, and there are a lot of emotions and a lot of sensations and a lot of things that circulate around an event like that. And then it's like, well, was there a possibility of curse prior to that? You know, what we're all looking at is sort of if you're looking for a way to protect yourself from a curse, oftentimes it comes down to where did it come from?
Right.
Because there's plenty of things you could do. There's talisman, there's you know, Book of Common Prayer, there's, you know,
cleansing rituals.
And being a Christian, you know, meeting with your religious leaders, you know, discussing it, finding a way to the light. However, it's so tricky because we say this all the time, you know, your faith is what will ultimately help in these mm-hmm. instances. But your faith has its limits. And the easiest way to express this, a man breaks into your house with a gun. You have great faith, but it's not going to stop that man with a gun. Mm-hmm. Your faith is infallible. It's not going to stop that man with a gun. Sometimes you have to take actions that address the man with the gun. A lot of people go into haunted places. They go into spiritually dangerous places, armed with their faith, but their faith isn't going to stop a gun. You know, it's not going to stop the thing because there's something else at work. Mm-hmm. So it's not a question of faith. It's not, you know, because that's suggesting that your faith isn't strong enough. That's not fair. It's not a fair analogy mm-hmm. to suggest that you're suffering because your faith wasn't strong enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You're suffering despite your faith being strong enough, mm-hmm. which means that something is feeding on another avenue, getting okay. to you through another means. So by all means, look towards the comfort things, the things that mm-hmm. embolden you and help you out, you know, in your faith, but be open to the idea that you might be dealing with forces that are not being addressed by your faith, which then mm-hmm. opens up the door to other forms of protection. And, you know,
yeah, no, I was just going to ask, Maddie, what do you say from like a witchcraft standpoint?
Well, since you say that you're a devout Christian, I would say go to your religious leader and ask to be blessed in whatever capacity Ooh, your good. Denomination says. See how that helps. You know, get a blessing, even do another baptism if you're Baptist or if your denomination does that. Just to see how it affects things.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, denomination to denomination, a lot of people will draw these lines. They will you know, if I'm a Baptist, I will not, you know, go to the Lutheran church. If I'm an Episcopal, mm-hmm. I won't go to the Methodists. But note that the tenets of the faith are generally the Holy Bible, Christ the Redeemer. And if you find yourself hitting a wall with your denomination, you can, without abandoning your faith in your denomination, seek out others who share the notion of Christ the Redeemer, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, mm-hmm. and they could give you some insights that you may not be getting from your normal avenues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, sorry
we
to hear that.
Best luck. I'll say pray for you 100%.
Absolutely. And yeah, keep us updated.
Yes.
Because it's fascinating to think that your presence is causing such a specific interaction and reaction.
Exactly.
We need an update like in June.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thank you all so much for sending in your ghost mail. If you have a ghost story you want to send in to us, you can send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. But with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.